story in which the Gemara related on Pei Beis the reason why the sages were so against the Greek wisdom. There had been a civil war between two brothers, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus. Hyrcanus was inside the temple in the Beit HaMikdash. Aristobulus was outside of the Beit HaMikdash. And they were fighting with each other. And the forces of Aristobulus had placed a siege around the Holy Temple. But even though they were fighting those who were in the Holy Temple, they didn't want to stop the service. So there was an arrangement that the Kohanim inside the Holy Temple would lower a bucket of coins every morning. And in return, those Kohanim outside the temple, fighting the Kohanim in the temple, would send up a sheep. So there was a sage who had studied the Greek wisdom. He said, how do you think we're going to win if we're giving them sacrifices? So one morning, instead of sending back up a sheep, he put a pig inside that box. And when the pig was coming up, was being brought up to the temple, it put its feet onto the wall of the temple, onto the western wall, and the whole land of Israel shook because of the terrible desecration of God's name. And then the sages said that it's illegal to raise figs. A Jew should never cultivate pigs. And it's illegal to teach one's son the Greek wisdom. So, yeah, unfortunately, civil wars hurt ourselves. Oh, you're looking for the Masifta? It's here. Thank you. Chachmas Yevanis Miasira asks the Gemara at the very bottom of Pei Beis Amid Beis, is it really prohibited to study the Greek wisdom? Vatanya, but we learned in a Braisa. Amar Rebbe, the author of the Mishnayos, said, Beretz Yisrael, Lashon Sur Si Lama. In the land of Israel, why would there be any need to use the Syrian language? O Lashon HaKodesh, if you want, you can use the holy language. O Lashon Yevanis, even if you don't want to use the holy language, use Greek. Greece is right next to the land of Israel. Amar Rabbi Yossi said, in Bavel, Lashon Arami Lama. In Iraq, why would anyone use Aramaic? Why would anyone use the Syrian language, which is filled with jargon and all sorts of lack of clarity? O Lashon HaKodesh, you can use the holy language of Hebrew. O Lashon Parsi, or use Persian, because the Persians occupied Iraq. So you see that Rebbe himself said there's nothing wrong with using Greek. Now, how are you going to know Greek if you don't study the Greek wisdom? Obviously, there's nothing wrong with studying the Greek wisdom. Amri, they answered in the yeshiva, Lashon Yevani Lechud. There's a difference between the Greek language and Chachmas Yevanis Lechud, and the Greek wisdom. The Greek language is okay, but the Greek wisdom is to study their philosophy, to study their horoscopes, to study their astrology. That's terrible. So the Gemara asks, V'chachmas Yevanis Mi Asir, is it true that you're not allowed to study the Greek wisdom? Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, about himself, Eini olalala nafshi mikol binos iri. I should be crying for my soul based on what happened from all the daughters of my city. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi at the time of the loss of the Second Temple. So what did he relate? He related that, Elef Yiladim Ayu Bebeit Abba, there were 1,000 children to my father's household. Chamash Mehos Mehem Lamdu Torah. 500 of them, he said, go study Torah. They studied Torah. Chamesh Mehot, and 500 of them, Lamdu Chochmat Yivanit. We're studying the Greek wisdom. And I should be crying that Lo Nishtayer Mehem El Ani Kanu Ben Achi Abba Be'asya. I should cry that the only ones left after the terrible destruction of the temple are me here and the son of my father's brother, my first cousin in Asia. Okay, but you see that what was the practice of the prince, of the Nasi, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the son of the Nasi, he was the Nasi himself. The practice of his father's house was that 500 of the boys learned Greek, and 500 of the boys learned Torah. So you see, there's nothing wrong with learning Greek. The Nasi himself, the prince, the leader of the Sanhedrin, was learning the Greek wisdom. Amri, the answer in the yeshiva, Shani Beis Rabban Gamliel. The household of the prince, the household of Rabban Gamliel, whose father was the head of the Jewish people, they were allowed to learn and they were right to learn the Greek wisdom. Shayu Krovim Lamalchut, because they were close to the government. They had to advocate on behalf of the Jewish people before the government. So since they had to advocate on behalf of the Jewish people in front of the government, they had to be able to converse with the government on its terms. And the government was the people in the government were filled with Greek wisdom. That's why they were allowed to learn Greek wisdom. Kidetanis went in a braisa. In terms of haircuts, Hamasaper kumi, a person who cuts off the hair at the front of his head, and he leaves only hair at the back, which was the style of the non-Jews. Areza midarkei Amori. It's not allowed because it's a non-Jewish style, and we are told in the Torah, uvechukotehem lo telechu, don't follow their ways. However, Avtumus bar Ruvain, itir lo lesaper kumi. Avtumus, the son of Ruvain, they allowed him to cut off that hair at the front of his head. Mipneshu karov lamalchut, because he was close to the Roman authorities. He was in the houses of government. He was in the White House. He was in the Capitol. So he had to talk to the senators and the congressmen and the members of the administration. So he had to look like them so that they would listen to him. The way they cut their hair, that's true.
We didn't just spoke their language, we want them to do what they do.
Yeah.
And that's one of the xerot.
Yeah, it's true. So based on Rabban Gamliel, in the household of Rabban Gamliel, the prince, Heitir lehem lesaper b'chachmas yevanis, they permitted them to discuss and to study the Greek wisdom, yipnei shekrovim lamalchut, again because they were close to the government. Going all the way back to the Mishnah taught, Lo yigadel adam es hakelev elim kein kashur b'shal shalaot. The person is not allowed to raise a dog unless the dog is tied in chains. That's because dogs might bark, and when they bark, they might frighten people and cause a pregnant woman to lose her baby. Tanar Abanim lived in a brisa. Lo yigadel adam es hakelev elim kein kashur b'shal shalas. You shouldn't raise a dog unless he's tied in a chain. Avamagadel hu b'ir esmucha l'sfar. But if you're living in a settlement, let's say you're living in Psagot. Psagot is a town right next to a big Arab town called Ramallah. So you have a lot of danger there. So then we need dogs out there to protect us. If you have a border city, Metula, or Kiryat Shmona,
yeah,
or Sderot. So a border town, a town next to the border, there you can raise dogs. What do? You can raise the dog. The kosher bayom, umatiro balayla. Tie it up during the day, and at night, when you need the patrol, you untie it. Tanya went in a brisa. Belezer Agadol Omer. Belezer Agadol used to say, "A megadol klavim, one who raises dog, to megadol chazirim, it's as bad as raising pigs." We already said you shouldn't raise dog. What do you mean? What do you add when you say it's as bad as raising pigs? The answer is lemeikam alei bar. We just said that the story with the pig was that the sages said, "Cursed is the man who raises pigs." So that means if you raise a dog, you also have a curse. Cursed is the person who raises a dog. Amr of Yosef Barman Yumi, Amr of Nachman. Rav Yosef, the son of Yumi, said in the name of Nachman, Bavel, Kira Smuchal Esfardami. The city of Bavel is like, actually, Rashi says it doesn't mean the whole Bavel is a country, it means Naharda. Naharda is a city like a city near the border because apparently there are non Jews right next to it. Tirgum Naharda, they explained it to reference to the city of Naharda. Darsh Abdustai Dimin Biri. Abdustai Dimin Biri once pointed out why it's so important not to raise dogs. The pasuk says in the Torah, "Uvenu cho yomar," and when the ark, the holy ark, would come to a rest, he would say, "Shuvah Hashem, return God, Rivos Alpha Yisrael, on the tens of thousands and thousands of Israel." So Rivava is 10,000. Rivavos is the plural of 10,000s. That means 20,000. Two 10,000s. Elef is 1,000. Alfei is the plural of thousands. That's 2,000. So why did the verse say God returned to tens of thousands and 2,000s? This is to teach you that the divine presence rests on a community of Jews that's 22,000 large. So what happened? Imagine you have 22,000 chaser achas. Imagine if you have 22,000 missing one, 21,000. And of these 21,000 Jews that they all gathered at Madison Square Garden for the Siyum HaShas, Ha'isayisham u'beres b'neim, there was a pregnant woman amongst them. Uruya Lahashlim. So now if her, now that she has a pregnant, she's a pregnant woman, there's a baby inside of her. So now you have 22,000. Because the baby makes it 22,000. So now the fetus makes it 22,000. You're going to have the divine presence. Then Nebuch Bakelev. Then Nebuch a dog on Madison Avenue, whatever, for 34th Street, barks at this woman, Vipila. And because she's startled by the barking dog, the baby dies. This guy who raised the dog is causing the divine presence to walk out of the Jewish people.
How can you please explain us that say even to one person if he's learning Torah Bo'elecha, it's not that it's
right. Apparently 22,000 is a greater revelation, greater amount of decree. There was a woman, Da'alus Lemefa Bahu Besa. She went up to bake in a certain house. Navach Bakalba, the owner of that house, unfortunately was raising a dog, so the dog barked at her. Amar Lamare, then the owner said, "Listen, lo tistafimine, don't be afraid of this dog of mine. Shkuli Nive, we took out the four big teeth that he can use to harm." Amar Lesi said, "I'm sorry." She said to him, "It's too late. Shkili tu vusei fleshad yachizri. Take your favor and throw it. Take your favor and throw it onto the thorns. You haven't helped me at all. You know what? It's too late. Farnad, Vlad, I already felt the child turn. I felt that the baby has died." All right, then the Mishnah said, "Ein porsin nishvin liyonim." You can't spread out traps for doves unless it's 4 ris away. 30 ris away, which I'm sorry, is 4 mil away. Umi azli kuli hai, do the doves fly so far that you're worried about theft? If you have your own doves, you have to put the nest of your doves 50 amos away from a city. Because if they're within 50 amos, they're going to fly to the city. They're going to eat from the produce of people that are growing in the city. So you see that they only fly 50 amos. They don't fly 4 mil. 4 mil is 8,000 amos. Abai said like this. No. Meshachai tetuva. The truth is they fly 4 mil. So if you're going to put out traps, you have to put them at least 4 mil away so you don't start trapping the doves of other people. However, karsayu b'chamishim ama malyu, they fill up their stomach with 50 mil. In other words, they wake up in the morning, they're hungry, so they eat in the area around where they are for 50 mil, for 50 amos, for 75 feet. So 75 feet, you can, if you have your own doves, you're worried that your doves are going to eat somebody else's produce, keep them 75 feet away from his produce. So they'll eat the stuff in the 75 feet around them, and then they'll be full. Then they'll fly. Yeah, they'll fly for thousands of amos. Thousands of amos. So Gemara asks, Umeshit, in terms of flying, Shlosh Ebris V'Sulo, we're only talking about 4 mil and no more. Ivo Tan Bulgan Abraisa Bayishuv, in a settled area. Afilu meyamil lo yifros. He shouldn't put out traps for doves even 100 mil away, because he might end up catching the people's doves of other people. So Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef said, no, that's really, they fly 4 mil. But Yishuv Kramim, but if it's an area that's a wine-growing region, if it's a place of vineyard after vineyard, then lots of doves like it, because the doves eat in one vineyard, then they fly to the next vineyard, they start eating some of the grapes there, then they go to the next vineyard. Then they keep flying from place to place, then you've got to keep your nets very far away. Rabba Amar B'Yishuv Shovchim, we're talking about a place where there are lots of dovecot, lots of nets, nests. So in a second, the tape game Yishuv Shovchim Gufayu. So if they're a place of lots of nests, why is it that you have to keep your trap far? The problem is that the nests themselves are going to end up taking from each other. Answer is Ibai Sam with Dovik Kochavim. Maybe we're talking about non-Jewish nests. Ibai Sam with the Hefker. Maybe we're talking about nests of ownerless doves. No problem of taking it from the nests. The only issue is trapping. Ibai Sam with the day. Maybe they are your own nests, since they all belong to him. So, of course, he can trap his own birds, but he still can't put out traps because other nests, other birds are going to be flying to rest in these nests, and then they might end up caught in his traps. Hajan Allah, Chaz Hashem Yisbarach, Berach Meruba, V'Hadarach Alan, Be'ezrat Hashem Yisbarach. Now we begin the 8th chapter of Masechet Bava Kama, which deals with a person who damages another person directly. We've learned about property that damages. We've learned about theft. The next stage is direct assault. One person who hits somebody else. We've seen this mentioned before, that if somebody hits somebody else, there are actually 5 payments. He pays for the damages, namely, what was that person worth before I wounded him, and what is he worth now that I wounded him? He pays for the pain. He pays for the humiliation. He pays for the doctor bills. And he pays for the lost wages. So, great. So let's begin the next Mishnah. Hachovel b'chaveiro. Someone who wounds his friend with an assault. Chayev alav mishum chamisha dvarim. The damager needs to pay 5 payments. Nezek, damages, tsa'ar, pain, ripui, doctor bills, sheves, lost wages, uboshes, and humiliation. Nezek, kaitzad, how do you evaluate the damage? So simas eino, if a person knocked out the eye of his friend, or katas yada, or he cut off his hand, or shiberes raglo, or broke his foot, roen oso, kilu, evan nimkar bashuk. We say, let's take this person. Let's imagine he is a slave being sold in the market. The shaman kamahaya yafa. How much is this person worth as a slave? Now, whatever he is, let's say he's a lawyer or he's a businessman, the owner would pay a premium for the fact that he's a smart or educated. So that all goes into that price. So what is he worth in the market as a slave? What was he worth? And now, kamu yafa, what is he worth now? Missing the leg, or missing the hand, or missing the eye. And that's the value of the eye. Tsar, how do we figure out the payment of pain? Sometimes you can have infliction of pain without causing lasting damage. Kvo bishpud. Let's say he wounded him with a hot iron, obemasmer, or with a hot nail. Afil al tziparnav, or he did it on a person's fingernails. Makom sheinosa chabura, it's a place where there won't be a lasting wound. But nevertheless, omdim, we make an evaluation. Kam adam kayotze bazer rotza lito lios mitzdar kach. How much would a person like this, how pampered a person he is, how the more pampered he is, the more the pain is. So how much would he be willing to, how much money would he charge to be willing to take so much pain? That's the value of this pain, and that's the value that the damager needs to give to him.
Right. Everybody has the damage itself. If the person is a successful business owner versus a servant, to assess the damage based on what he would fetch on the slave market basically means you equalize everybody.
To a degree, but I'm saying the...
If the guy was, again, a big CEO, he's earning power.
Yeah, but presumably...
higher than the guy that is a basic servant.
True, but, you know, the slave owners, right, they would use a big CEO as the manager of their plantation. They would, you know, utilize those skills. There would be a little bit more of an increased value, hopefully, I would think, a little bit more.
Now, if it's SAR, you have to pay more to a rich person because they would obviously pay more to
not... Yeah, absolutely.
I understand the first... I don't understand the pain. How did determining the pain?
How much would this person charge to take on such pain? Right. Everything's got a price. If you offered some, you know, pampered guy $20 billion to go through torture, he'll do it. So for him, the torture is worth $20 billion. That's what he deserves to be paid.
So it's on each individual level then.
For sure. For sure. Ripui, what is the doctor bills? Hikahu, if a person hit his friend, chayav l'raposo, he has to pay till the guy gets healed. Ala botzmachim, let's say he was hit and then all sorts of blisters came up around the wound. Imach masamaka, if it's all because of the wound, chayav, he has to pay for the healing of those blisters. Shlomach masamaka, if it's not because of the wound, patri doesn't have to pay. Chaisa, let's say it seems to be getting better. Venistra, then it got worse again. Chaisa was getting better again. Venistra got worse again. Chayav l'rapos, so he has to heal him each time. Chaisa called Sarka, if it got fully better, then in Chayav l'rapos. So then again, blisters come up. That's something new that he doesn't have to pay for. Sheves, what are the lost wages? Once you already paid for the value of the arm, so what does it mean, lost wages? Well, Roan Oso Kilu Shomer Kishuin. We imagine that he would have a very menial job. Let's say he was hired to watch the field of cucumbers. He gets paid an hourly wage. He lost that all that time that he's been in the hospital. Because you've already paid for his hand and foot. Boshes, what's the payment of humiliation? It's all a function of the person who is doing the embarrassing. And the person is getting embarrassed. The more prominent a person, the worse the embarrassment. And the more lowly the embarrasser, the more lowly the aggressor, the worse the embarrassment. So it's all a function of the embarrasser and the one getting embarrassed.
So, Rabbi, if he didn't have the money to pay him, he would be his servant?
No.
So what?
No, you only get sold as a slave for theft, not for
damages. I understand that, but what would happen then?
Owes him the money.
He owes him the money. Once he gets the money, they would take it from him.
Oh. There was no jail cover, right?
What's that?
Is all this penalty by that thing?
Yeah, Besdin carries out these penalties, sure.
And there's no formula for you.
We'll see in Maseches Makos a little bit, but not very little.
There's no formula for humiliation. It's
depends on the person. You have to evaluate each person.
Right, but I'm saying it's...
We're going to see later they had certain prices, but
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
Asks the Gemara, why, if a person wounds somebody else, does he get away with paying for it? The Torah said, ayin tachas ayin, an eye under an eye. That means he should lose an eye for having knocked out an eye, Amar Rachmana. Aim ayin mamish. Maybe it means an eye literally. It's the Gemara Lo Salka Daitach. You can't think to say that. The time before we lived in a Braisa. Yachol Simis, Eino Misameis, Eino. Maybe if one person wounds somebody else's eye, he loses his eye. Katas Yado, Miktolis Yad, Mikateas Yado. If he cut off someone's hand, his hand should be cut off. Shibiris Raglo, if he knocked out someone's foot, Mishabiris Raglo, his foot should be knocked out. Tamaloma, that's what the Pasuk says. Make Adamu, Make Behema. The Torah speaks about hitting a person and hitting an animal. So that means that they are linked to each other. Ma make behema l'tashlumin, just like hitting an animal, you pay for the animal. Af make adam l'tashlumin. So too, hitting a person means there's payments, but not that the person himself is physically assaulted for having committed assault. Im nafshach lomar, and if you don't like this idea, this gzeira shava, there's another source. Reyomer, the pasuk says, "Lo sikhu chofer lenefesh rotzeach asheru rasha lamus." And you may not take a payment, a ransom, for the soul of the murderer, for he deserves to die. That means for the soul of a murderer, you can't take a payment. But you can take a payment for the loss of a limb, even though that limb can never be replaced. Let's talk about the first source. The Gemara said there's a gzeira shava between hitting an animal and hitting a person. Hi, Maki. Which pasuk links hitting a person to hitting an animal? Elam, if it's the pasuk of Maki Behemi Shalmena. One who hits an animal is to pay for it. Maki Adam Yumas, one who hits a person is to die. Ahubik Talaksit. That pasuk's not saying that when you hit a person, you pay. It says that if a man hits a person, namely if a child hits his father and makes his father bleed, he gets put to death. So that's not even talking about what we're talking about. Elamayacha. No, it's this pasuk. The pasuk says, "Umake nefesh beimli yishalmena." One who hits the soul of an animal is to pay it. Nefesh, tachas, nefesh. A soul in place of a soul. The samuchlein. Then you have another pasuk. Shortly thereafter, the next pasuk, "Vishkiten mumbamiso," and a man will place a blemish onto his friend. Kasher asa, as he did, king yaselo. So shall be done to him. In other words, there is a linkage between Make Behema and Yitain Mum. So Gemara says, but still, I love Makehu. This pasuk doesn't use the word he will hit. It says, Yitain Mum. Answers the Gemara, Haka Haba Kamrinan. Rice is not saying that it's literally the word Make appears in two places. But what it's saying is that hitting that comes from, you know, a blow that comes from hitting, and a blow that comes from hitting. So yitain mu means that you'll create a blow. Ma'aka amur bebehema, just like the blow that was spoken about in terms of an animal, the tashlum, it means you have to pay. Afaka amur ba'adam, so to the blow with a person, the next pasuk, yitain mu, the tashlum, it means he has to pay. Ayvok se, but the pasuk says, v'ish ki yake kol nefesh adamos yumas. The Torah says, if a man will hit another man, he is to be put to die. So, it sounds like they're putting to death the limb of the one who hit. So the Gemara says, no, what does it mean he'll be put to death? It means the mamon will have to pay money. Why do you know that it means he has to pay money? Maybe it means literally you'll put that limb to death. You can't think to say that. And number one, we have this gzeira shava. The Torah talks about hitting the soul of an animal, paying for it, and it talks about kiyitin mumba miso. And furthermore, ksiv, the verse also says, kasher yitain mumba adam, ken yinasein bo, as a blemish will be placed in man, so shall be placed in him. Ushmamina, so that must mean that it is mamon, that it's only paying money, because it's saying yinasein bo, money, which is something which is transferable from hand to hand. Okay, let's stop here.